Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for, what is it, Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, I'm feeling much better, I'll have you know, today, so I'm really glad to be here.
That's good, and Michael Kelly is here with us as well.
Good evening, everyone.
Good to have everybody with us. We appreciate you spending your time with us this evening. Not only to those listening to the live program, but those listening to the archive as well. Again, we appreciate your time. Spirit of Life Service is an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our spirit, or our mission, is to explore the spirit and empower the spirit, the human spirit. It's a good thing, you know. We have a number of educational programs as well, additional educational programs, our schools, IMHS, metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, doctoral degree in metaphysics. We also have Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, where you can take standalone courses in metaphysical topics, as well as enroll in a degree program. We have empoweredrecovery.com, which is our educational program centered around helping those in alcoholic relationships. It's not for the alcoholic, it's for those in the alcoholic relationship. And what else do we have? Parentexus.org, Association of Anomalous Researchers. So we have a number of different educational programs all designed to figure out the answers to the why question. I don't know if we're any further ahead, but we're sure trying, I'll tell you that. We've been trying for years, which is a good thing. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. We have 9 principles of belief. They are, number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like to read the expanded version of these 9 principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight we have a couple of topics that we're going to discuss. Zach had emailed us a week or so ago with some topics, and so we're going to talk about those. And then we're going to follow that discussion up with some discussion on codependence. So starting out with some of Zach's topics, basically it centers around bias, and I'll start this out, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Hunter, who I know has a thought or two on it. Bias, basically the question is, you know, how does bias affect us in a lot of different ways? How does social media reframe our perceptions of life and the world? How does the news coverage reframe our perceptions of what's going on in the world? But it comes back to bias, and bias is simply linked to belief. You know, we are what we believe. The world is what we believe. If you think the world's a great place, then that's exactly what it is. If you don't think it's that, then that's exactly what it is. A friend of mine, Gregory, years ago, he always used to refer to, in my world, that doesn't exist. And I always appreciated the way he put that, because he wasn't going to buy into negativity. You know, some people are negative. Well, in my, I just don't have that in my world. And it's a great, it was a great expression. So bias is linked to belief, and of course, belief is the most powerful force in the universe. It's responsible for where you are, for all your failures and victories. It's responsible for all the wars. It's responsible for everything going on in this realm, in this atmosphere, and in life. That's bias. So we all have our biases and our beliefs, and that obviously shapes how we view life. Dr. Hunter, any comments?
Well, Zach was specifically asking about, you know, propaganda and the news and how, you know, we're watching and listening and hearing things, and how do you weed that out? And I have a couple of suggestions, but first we have to really, I think, understand the dilemma, is that we're always fed information that other people want us to believe, and everybody has their own angle to tell the story. Now, it's no different than you got in our, in my house, there was four kids raised in the same house, but we all have a different opinion of childhood, right? So everybody has their own view. And of course, there's qualia involved in that too. It's the emotional attachment. But when we're talking about news in particular, I think that journalism, period, has changed considerably over the last 20 years. And so people have their regular, you know, news sources that they go to, and they trust them. You know, if I've always watched that station, I trust that station. If I've always listened to these people, much like you go to church and you always believe, you know, in your religion or your minister, and you always believe that. You don't ever think that something is wrong with what you're hearing because you've pledged allegiance in a way, and that's just your trustworthy source. What does enter into this then is critical thinking, that we always have to kind of be on our toes and look at a bigger picture. And I know when I, let's say, went to church, I had a lot of questions and nobody could give me my answer. So if you're watching news sources and listening and not asking questions, then, you know, you're kind of feeding into your own biases. And this is where we're always, I think, debriefing ourselves. So I think we have to, our responsibility in this is, what is it that, I always say, what is it that they want me to believe? And what is my position in the world, and what do I believe in? So then I kind of start to weed it out. And yes, but we can certainly be influenced by what we're listening to. And we're not necessarily, Dr. Angie just said in the chat room, smoking is a good example of media influence. It used to be cool, now it's not cool. And that's exactly right. And she adds in here, Dr. Shirley says, we hear what we want to hear. And that's just life. We do that in a matter of our just daily functioning. We, you know, we have selective hearing. So as Dr. Kelly was saying earlier, we all have our biases. So we're going to hear whatever supports our bias. The thing that we really do need to do is take a look at where we are in the here and now. You know, this is 2017, today's February 22nd. What's the state of the world? What is it they want us to believe? And if you're really interested in something more truthful, then look across the board, do comparatives, and say, why is it that one news story can have so many different ways of spinning a story? Well, maybe the story is not true at all. That's possible. Or if you're really interested, try to find other ways in to look at other more, I'd say, more credible news sources, like the source of your of the information that you want. Now, obviously, we can't necessarily know what's going on overseas unless you know people who are living over there, and but they would still have their own bias of what's going on. Do you see? So it's really interesting to me how we have to kind of weed everything out to get to something more truthful. I happen to be a big observer and supporter of Standing Rock, and I found two or three individuals who are actually there to get what I call is a more truthful account of the story of what's going on. I don't watch the other mainstream news media. What I'm really happy to say, so Zach and anybody else who's interested in this, there are some new independent news agencies reinstating investigative journalism. And I'm really glad to see that. So there is this, you know, right from that grassroots level, starting to come up to the surface. I'm a big fan of TYT Politics, by the way, TYT Network. That's one of them. But there are many. Unicorn Riot's another. But they're all starting to, a number of groups are starting to come to the surface. And the more support that they get, of course, the more information that we can get across the board. But this really requires us to put our biases aside. And a lot of people can't do that. I mean, they don't want to. They're not going to. There's a certain, I think, demographics has a lot to do with it. Life experience has a lot to do with it. And people just trust what they're watching and what they're hearing. And there's just no way to change their minds. But you can change your own mind by looking into information, especially if you've been going to IMHS and you've been taking courses, especially if you got to B5, you've got a pretty good idea of critical thinking, deductive and inductive reasoning, and how to kind of, you know, say, I think something's not making sense here. I actually also use my intuition. I say, you know, that something doesn't feel right about that. And so usually I just discard a whole bunch of news that I read because I say, that's just not even making sense to me. Somebody's just trying to, you know, write a story. So it's, if any of that makes any sense to anybody, but it's, you really have to filter everything and recognize your own biases and recognize where you have your own kind of thought patterns and your own belief systems and do your best to say what makes sense and what's practical and not be, hopefully not be seduced by, you know, the mainstream, because the mainstream sometimes doesn't look so good. So that's kind of what I have to offer about that.
Well, those are some good points. You know, the basic bottom line is think for yourself, you know, and, you know, do your research on different topics, you know, during elections or whatever, whatever it is you're trying to get an opinion on, you know, do your research and use good critical thinking, ask good questions, think for yourself, you know, bounce it against your own core values and then make up your own mind. And that goes for anything. It even goes for students who are studying in our programs, in our schools, you know. Think for yourself, you know, make up your own mind. But as you research this and contemplate this, keep your feet on the ground, your head on your shoulders, be reasonable, make sure you have a good, defensible, reasonable basis for any conclusions you arrive at. And you should be good, you know. So, yes, does social media affect public perception? Yes. Does the news coverage? Yes, it does. But we can beat that simply by thinking for ourselves. All right, good points. Appreciate Zach emailing that those topics.
You know what? I have to inject here because I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox for a moment. There's been a real big conversation going on about smoking in the chat room. You know, with all the things in life to deal with, you know, whether it's and I am going to be a little bit political here for a moment, whether it's looking up in the sky and seeing chemtrails or reading the ingredients on the stuff you buy at the store, smoking is small in the big scheme of things. So it's I know Dr. Andrew's saying it's just a, you know, it was just used to show a point. I know, but this is where we get into trends, you know, and we are, you know, society cultures itself and, you know, it gets into trends of things. It's okay to drink alcohol, not okay to smoke cigarettes, but everybody wants to smoke pot. You know, it's got to watch ourselves and check our criticisms and our judgments at the door, and just appreciate that people do what people do for their own reasons, and we don't have the right to infringe our own opinions on others. And I'm just going to bring up, I had a I gave a class a number of years ago, and a woman came up to me and said, I can smell smoke in the house. I said, well, not in this area, you can't. Well, I know that you do. And besides that, you should be telling your people not to wear perfume to your class. I said, well, no, I can't do that. She says, well, you have a right to. And if you're in the business that you're in, you should be coaching people not to wear perfume and not to smoke. And you should be setting a good example. Well, honestly, I said, and this is a woman who was training to be a homeopath, I might add. I said, I can't make those kinds of judgments and put that on other people. I don't like perfume. I get an instant migraine. Somebody comes to me and they have perfume on. I say, excuse me. I go take a Tylenol, come back, open the window. It's for an hour. They pay me. They leave. We're done. You know, it's, come on. And of course, I'm not going to fall down in an anaphylactic shock. So, and after people get to know me, I'd say, yeah, if maybe you could tone it down a bit, that would be nice. But who cares? I mean, it's just, if you have a really bad allergy to something, then you should put that as a poster on your door to say, I can't cope with that because I have an allergy, not because you're going to tell somebody that's the right or wrong thing to do. It's obviously right for them. So again, it's, you can say what your boundary is because that doesn't suit you. Now, this woman was so upset with me. It was one of my first hate letters I ever got. She took the time to write me this 2-page letter of stuff. And you know how I was just so lousy at what I do. And I actually posted it up on my wall for every client to see for years, actually. I just thought that was the best piece of mail I ever got. Because that exampled to me how not to infringe ourselves onto others. When we look at the big scheme of life, know what's small stuff and know what's the big stuff. Because everybody is just people trying to get through a day. So that's my little soapbox.
You know, there's some interesting points in all that, and let me just come back with them. First of all, the example for smoking was absolutely apropos to our discussion a few minutes ago, and I know you know that. I just want that to be clear, because yes, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, that was the thing. Today, it's not the thing. Okay, so there's a good example of how media coverage and all that has shifted perceptions. Okay, that's cool. The other thing about this hate letter you got, you know, and this is something we all have to keep in mind, our responses to things will tell smart people a lot about us and about where we are. You know, that woman who wrote you that letter obviously had control issues. did not have a good self-concept. She was trying to control other people, and she was trying to impose her own will on others. And she doesn't have any idea just how psychological that letter was and how much information was in that letter, not about you, but about her. And so this is a good lesson for us. When we respond to things, you know, it tells others about who we are and where we're at. And if they're smart and they're dialed in, they can tell a lot. That's how I pick up a lot about where people are based on that, how things are worded, whether there's a, like in emails, for example, whether there's a greeting or a closing, you know, I can tell where people are at a lot. So bear that in mind. That's one thing. And I appreciate the whole thing. Here's what I believe in my own bias, if you will, about what you mentioned, you know, smoking, drinking, and marijuana, right? Well, I'll tell you right now from experience, alcohol has by far caused more misery, more illness, more deaths, more dysfunction than everything else combined, by far. And yet it's acceptable. Smoking, yeah, it can kill people, but not nearly as many people as alcohol kills, and not as many spirits as alcohol kills. alcoholism doesn't just kill the alcoholic. It kills everybody around them. Everybody. Marijuana, we spend so much money incarcerating people for marijuana possession. When it's a joke, marijuana doesn't do anything that alcohol does. Marijuana, so what? Okay, so what? I mean, I don't personally use it, but I know people who do. I have great friends, professionals who do. So what? You know, and yet it's against the law because it's a drug. You know, come on, give me a break. Alcohol is the worst thing ever. You know, I don't have a problem with people who drink. I don't drink much myself. I don't know why. I just don't. I drink Diet Coke. People will get on their soapbox about that, but it doesn't matter. So perception is a big thing. That's why it's so important to think for yourself, examine the facts, keep things in perspective, keep your head on your shoulders, your feet on the ground. And so that was my soapbox. All right.
Well, you know, and which leading into our next topic of codependence, and I mean, I think this is a really good segue because and we're talking about boundaries. I'm going to start there, actually, because codependency is when you're actually giving up a part of yourself and supporting somebody else in a particular dysfunction that's affecting others. That's how I see it, such as somebody who drinks too much, and it affects their behavior, how they think, how they interact with other people, and so on. But I have a boundary. Now, you know, I like to drink some wine once in a while. I have a shot, you know, a brandy or something, but it doesn't affect my behavior. It doesn't infringe on other people. Now, I have a rule, no drunks allowed, and that's just my rule, because I don't like them. And I've always said nothing really good happens after 11 o'clock, really. That's just my rule. That's my life experience. So that's my boundary, and I don't care who they are. I don't care if it's old Uncle Joe. I don't care if it's my best friend. I don't care if, you know, it's just, no, there's a line. If you can't be a social drinker and just be whatever, then I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be in a partnership, and I have been, by the way, to people who drink in excess, and it's devastating to everybody. But as long as we continue to support bad behavior, we and not stand up for them, because I don't care if people drink. You want to get drunk? I don't care. But you're going to do it at your house. It's that we're supporting that, we're giving up a piece of ourselves. And this, to me, is where the line gets drawn about how it's not just about being a codependent to others, you know, it's enabling them. It's really about what I have sacrificed of myself. And that's what I had to learn about getting well and getting healthy in my life and finding a good place to be with me, is that I have a set of rules that I live by, and I don't make exceptions. And it's not even, there is no place of gray for some things. It's just, I'm not going to deal with it. And when it does get to that point where people can do what they want, but the minute it affects me and it starts to infringe on my well-being, that's when I say, sorry, you got to go. And it's up to them what they want to do with their life. You know, if years ago somebody came to me and said, my boyfriend's moving to China, should I go with him? And I said, well, did he ask you? And she said, no. And I said, well, then why are you even thinking about it? Now, there's a whole bunch of codependence going on in that relationship. These two have been dating for about 2 years. They're each living their own life, but they're together. He decides to move. He doesn't invite her. And she's, you know, he's leading her on that they're still in a relationship. You know, so they're kind of addicted to one another, but nobody's standing up where their own boundaries are. They're just the passive-aggressive kind of behavior. So I could probably list, you know, about 10 kinds of codependent behavior that's going on in that relationship. And I just said, unless he asks you to go, you're not going. I mean, I can't imagine you want to follow him to China and then find yourself with no place to live and no food. And, you know, that wouldn't be fun. Mm-hmm. And so there's all these varying degrees. What I say about it's really, really hard. And I want to say this with all the kindness in my heart and all the compassion. When you love someone and you want the best for them, you still want to be a part of their life, but there's some really bad things going on in there. You're really, so I say this kindly, you're really in love with who they you want them to be, not who they actually are.
Yep.
And this is the hardest thing to grasp. It's the hardest thing to not be in love with the potential of somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's what we tend to do, because at a spiritual level, we're all connected. So when you're in love with the potential, oh, you know, it's so hard to let go of that, to see the actual. Because if you look at the actual, the love is limited. So you're living a life that's not real. And that's the hardest thing. I've had to own that in my life. I know, Dr. Kelly, you have. When you reach that point, when you say, I am in love with the potential, not the reality, then you start to own yourself again. And then there's the withdrawals. There's the, you know, you go through the shock and trauma and the grieving and the so on. But then you're grieving the dream, not the individual. So these are really important distinctions to make, which is really hard to do when you're in it. And I appreciate that. So it's just a learning curve, boy, big learning mm-hmm. curves.
Great points. So codependence, what is it? Codependence is basically doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. That is my definition of codependence. Think about that. Doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. And often the codependent person ends up enabling another person in poor behavior or dysfunctional behavior. Now, when I say don't do things for people that they could and should do for themselves, I want to qualify that a little bit. That doesn't mean you can't do a nice for people. That's not what I'm saying. You can do a nice for people. That's fine. But if you find that you consistently do something for another person that person could and should be doing for themselves, you are assuming responsibility for that person, for another adult. And you don't have the right to assume responsibility for another adult. By assuming responsibility, you are depriving them of their right of free will. And this is a pretty big thing, and you don't want to do that. So if you feel like you're in a relationship or you're being codependent, you've got to ask yourself, am I doing things that enable the other person to continue with poor behavior or unacceptable behavior? Now, this is common in alcoholic or drug addiction relationships, even gambling addiction relationships, any kind of addictive relationship like that. It's very common. I mean, look, I grew up codependent as all get out. I had no clue what it was. And I was a king of codependence, man. I was really, really good at it back in the day. And then I got edumacated on it, right? And began to realize what I was doing. And it took a long time. It took a while to come out of that. And I did. And so here's the thing, folks. I mean, when you're trying to rationalize this or justify this, how to stop being codependent, you have to understand that each one of us is responsible for us. Now, I'm not including children in this equation. I mean, obviously, if you have children, you're responsible for them. And I'm talking about underage children, not adult children, okay? They fall into the same category as other adults. But we are all responsible for ourselves and no other adult. That's life. That is the reality of it. That is a healthy view of it. And so we cannot assume responsibility for another adult by either doing things for them that they should be doing for themselves and could be doing for themselves, or by trying to control them, thus robbing them of their free will. When we step in and prevent another person from realizing the full impact of their own actions, we save them. We step in and shield them from the repercussions of whatever they've done. That's really a bad thing. It's really a terrible thing to do to them. It's a disservice to them because they are then deprived of the opportunity to learn the life lessons that they need to learn to avoid that in the future. So when we talk about codependence and when we talk about what it really is, it's not a good thing at all. In fact, it's a boundary violation. It's a moral violation, and we need to stop doing that. Now, when I say don't do things for people they could and should do for themselves, now, you have to ask, can this person do this? Should this person do this? If the answer to both those questions is yes, then you let that person do it. They may not like it. In fact, if you've been codependent and they've been depending on you in an unhealthy way, they're not going to like it. Well, you did it for me before. Yeah, but I was wrong. You need to do this for yourself. Now, some examples. You're in a dysfunctional relationship. Maybe somebody's an alcoholic and they can't hold down a job. Maybe they've gotten a DUI or two and they've lost their license. Now, so they can't drive. They need to get a job. Now, they want you to take them for a job interview. All right? Should you do that? Well, it depends. There's no black and white here. It's kind of a gray area. All right, so have they learned their lessons? Are they trying to make a difference? Are they trying to improve? If that's the case, then sure. I'd take them to the job interview, give them a ride. But if I do that and they get the job and then they lose it because of their actions, and I do this a couple of times, the next time they want me to take them for a job interview, no, because it's not my job to take care of you. It's your job to learn these lessons and deal with it, make it happen. You know, we are where we are because of the choices we've made in life. That is true for all of us. Wherever we're at, it's because of the choices we've made in the past. That's neither right nor wrong. It just is. You know, it's just the way of life. So if you want a better life, you make better choices. And we all make bad choices. We all have used poor judgment at times. I mean, it happens. That's where we learn, or we should be learning. We call that experience. So we have to learn from those lessons and do differently next time. You know, it's like the old adage, you know, we bang our head on the wall and wonder why we have a headache. We keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome. That's not the way it works. If nothing changes, nothing changes. So we have to allow those around us to learn their lessons, to fall down and scuff their knees and to pick themselves up and go after it again. This, I could talk all night on this. I wrote the book on it. In fact, if you're in an alcoholic or a drug addict relationship, go visit empoweredrecovery.com. That's our educational program for, addictive relationships. If you're a student at IMHS, then this course M26 covers the Empowered Recovery Method. And the interesting thing is the IMHS curriculum strongly resembles Empowered Recovery because it's about becoming empowered, empowering yourself. So those are some thoughts. Just remember that if you want to stop being codependent, what do? Stop doing things for other people that could and should do for themselves.
There's a bit of a discussion going on earlier in the chat room I'd just like to address quickly. And when you've been raised in an alcoholic home, and, you know, of course, the question was, does that tend to affect how you have relationships? And yes, absolutely it does. And Dr. Dan, glad you're here tonight, mentioned it does make you want to be the fixer. And that's number one that comes out of when you are raised in a dysfunctional childhood and you happen to be, that's your nature, you tend to be a fixer. The other thing that does tend to happen is if that's the way you're raised and that's all you know, you naturally go into your young adulthood, mimicking that you attract those kinds of people. That's your frequency. And that's your mentality. That's all you know. So these things it really takes time to debrief yourself out of that kind of environment. Remember, early childhood especially, all those patterns are set into place. And it's really about debriefing and kind of, it's quite an entanglement. One of the most profound things that occurred to me one day in my early 30s. Because, you know, it's like you're still trying to win over those alcoholic parents. You're still trying to win over those bad people that hurt you. And you're still trying to win over and still trying to get approval. Still trying to, you know what I'm saying. It finally occurred to me, and this is like everybody to hear this really clear. Why do I want to gain the approval of people I don't even like?
Good question.
It hit me like a ton of bricks, literally. And I went, wow, I don't even like those people. I don't want to behave like those people. I keep looking for approval from certain kinds of people, but I don't like them. I don't like their behavior. And it just went away. And that's not to say that I still didn't have, you know, some debriefing and reprogramming of myself to do. And you really appreciate everybody sharing their stories in the chat. And I was raised by alcoholics as well and had my kick at the cat when I was young. And it does affect you. It impacts. But you have the power to decide who you're going to be. Dr. Dan just said you have to change your energy signature. And that's exactly what you do. When you change your own frequency, when you decide for yourself and you start with these little, you know, mental programmings, and I can't say it any other way except debriefing and replacing it with a different thought, then, you know, you could, that's when you start to empower yourself and you begin to say, wow, I want to be who I want to be. I want to rise into who I was born to be. Because who would I be if I weren't contaminated by all those experiences? I want to reclaim that. Because those experiences can't define me. I define me. And I know that's cliche. You've heard it a million times. But it's restoring yourself to what I say is like your natural birthright. Somebody once said to me that he felt guilty, knew so many people who had these awful childhood, you know, and he said, you know, I had a really good childhood. And I always feel guilty around people who, you know, talk about these bad things. I said, oh, please don't ever apologize for that. You are exampling what we all aspire to be. Mm-hmm. So when you step up, you know who you are. And you can actually start creating a healthy environment. That's what everybody looks up to. You're going to get those who compete, going to get those who try to tear you down. You're going to get those who are going to poke you to say, well, where's your weakness? Well, I just say, you don't have to poke me to find my weakness. I'll just tell you what my weakness are. Huh. You know, I know what they are. I know what my vulnerabilities are. And the biggest way you can get me riled up is hurt a kid. Man, I am fierce. So I know what gets me going. But I also know how I don't want to be. And in knowing that, then I could find those qualities of myself that I could, you know, really emphasize, recreate myself into what I did want to be. So it is about, you know, Dr. Ange is just saying, you know, about breaking the cycle. And she's asking Dr. Dan how he did that. And this is the beautiful thing. Again, I want to say this. I sound like a broken record saying it every week, but I appreciate everybody joining in the show and having this kind of interaction because that's why we're here. And it brings up a lot of really good discussion. So I appreciate it.
And I have just a couple of concluding comments on codependency. But first, if you'd like a card pulled from our Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. Michael will write those down. We'll get to those in just a moment. As far as codependency, now people who are codependent, it's difficult to come out of that. It's difficult to work your way out of it, find your way out of it. I know that. I've been through it. The thing about codependent people is they are some of the strongest people in the world. I mean, they can carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, and that's what they do. They're the fixers. They're the repair people, right? They repair others. And they have good hearts as a rule. They want to help people, and it's just they want to help so bad that it ends up being in an unhealthy way. And so if you're trying to work out of it, you're going to come into conflict with your feelings of trying to help the person, your compassion and your human compassion, and that's all good. You know, to have human compassion, and I do have human compassion, but there's something that supersedes my compassion, and that is self-responsibility. I respect the other person enough to not do for them what they ought to be doing for themselves. Even though I would love to help, I can't, because if I do, I'm depriving them of the value of a life lesson that they need to learn, that I already learned, but they need to learn it. And so you have to respect yourself, your own dignity, your own self, more than you want to help other people. It's because that will keep you in check, that will keep you in balance. So if you're having a hard time coming out of codependency, respect self-responsibility more than you do your need to help people, because your need to help people may be deeply rooted in other areas, such as, I only feel good about myself when I'm helping other people, and that is them esteem. You're already good enough. You're already perfect. You don't need to prove it to anybody. You know, you validate yourself. You fulfill your own expectations, and you allow other people to do the same. So don't do things for other people they could and should do for themselves. Respect them enough to say no. Respect them enough to show tough love. Respect them enough to not enable them to continue in an unhealthy pattern.
You know, I'm afraid we're going to get on cards here. I'm afraid I really took it to the nth degree, though. You know, it was, because I'm this way. I went extreme. The last relationship I was in years ago, I'd ask him, you know, what would you like for supper? And he'd say, I don't care. And I'd say, okay. So I'd go make myself a sandwich and go sit down. Later he'd say, well, what's for supper? I said, you didn't care. So I just made myself a sandwich. So I guess go in the fridge.
There you go.
But I mean, I gotta say, that's taking it a little too far. I admit that, but you know, it's participate.
Was it though? Really? Was it? Yeah, maybe that's what was needed.
You know, the thing is, to me, people ought to participate with each other in a good conversation. If I say, geez, what do you feel like eating for supper? And somebody says, I don't care. That just says they don't care. Literally, they don't even care to eat. So, but if they say, well, I'm not sure what I feel like, then we got something to talk about. You know, but if there's no room to talk, then geez. But again, it's I can get quite extreme with things, I'm afraid. So
right,
I think what we have
Michael
here. Yeah, hi, Michael, do you have a card there for Melissa? That's the first name that I wrote down here.
Hi, yeah, Melissa. Actually, I can pull a card. And I saw she was the first up, so let's see here. A good card. And Melissa, I drew number 28. Do no harm, do right.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establish the foundation for all other principles. That just fits so perfectly with the codependence discussion we were having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure
it really does.
Because,
so, you hopefully know, when you – go ahead.
Nope. I was just going to say, I hope that resonated with Melissa in some way.
Well, it does. I mean, think about it. When you are codependent, you're doing harm and you're not doing right. But when you stop doing that, you are no longer doing harm and you are doing the right thing for them and for you.
I agree.
Who's next?
I pulled one here for Fran. Balance and Order, number 8. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order's restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for first free will. So balance and order for you, Fran. And maybe it's as simple as I got a box full of tax stuff that I have to get my balance in order to. So I don't know. If there's something there in your life that resonates with you, balance and order. Michael, can you pull one for Colleen?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. All right, Colleen, I've pulled number one, well, wild card number one, paradox. Ah, that's always an interesting one.
It is. Get you thinking.
Mm-hmm. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lie in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
That's a good one. That's
really
a good
is.
One, Colleen.
Yeah.
Hopefully that makes sense to you, too. Now, I took the liberty of pulling the next card for Heather, and freedom. We don't get that one very often. So
no,
this one's for
gosh.
You, Heather. Freedom is a state of being. It is in an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right. And I'd just like to repeat a line in there. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Very powerful line in that card. So if that resonates with you, Heather, there you go.
Well, freedom. And that goes right hand in hand with codependency too, because
sure does.
Freedom mm-hmm. means not being codependent.
Now, I didn't see anybody else, did you? I wasn't, that's where I lost
the only
track,
other,
Michael.
The only other person that I mentioned anything was Errol, made a suggestion of pulling a card for everyone.
Go ahead, Michael. You do that.
All right, let's see. Going from the middle of the deck this time, let's see what we got for everybody. And, that's just perfect. It's number 10. The indomitable power of the human spirit. And if you're going to pull a card for everybody, then that's the one to do it.
Yep.
Read that one, Michael.
The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power, live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
And I think that's what we're all doing. It's a good one.
Absolutely.
It is. And it's a good note to start wrapping things up, so we'll start the music. We appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. We talked about bias and how perceptions are manipulated by social media news coverage. We talked about codependency, how to overcome it. We talked about do no harm, do right, balance and order, paradox, freedom, and, of course, the indomitable power of the human spirit. And we talked a lot about a lot of other things, too, that just all kind of worked their way in there. So, again, we appreciate everybody's time tonight, whether you're listening live or onto the archive. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to Michael for helping us out with producing the program, Dr. Hunter, for all your wisdom and thoughts, and again to everybody else. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.